Hello.
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 I have been getting surfer dude comments for 7 days straight.
Seven days straight? Don't you mean like 34 years straight?
Yeah, ever since before I was conceived.
Oh, I see. Okay, 32, 33.
Came out of the womb speaking surfer, huh?
I was like, gnarly waves, bro. Came out on a little surfboard.
See how you surfed with your mom's breaking waters, huh?
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear.
Oh, we are.
I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. I'm back with Leander Caney.
Hey, hey, Buster.
The British man himself. And Buster's here, too. Hey, Buster.
Oh, hey. What's up, guys?
I'd like to give a shout-out to Chris Forsman from Ars Technica. He was going to be on the show today, but he had something come up. He wasn't able to make it. Chris, if you're listening, I miss you.
You're never invited again.
I hate you.
You're bad.
We're going to try to have him back on. I love having Chris on. He's great.
Yeah, when he shows up.
And unlike me, he actually knows facts.
All right. He doesn't make it up like this.
Yeah, but... he doesn't make stuff up on the fly or just make confusing emotional arguments like I do.
Cold logic.
Hey guys, so Audible's back sponsoring the Cultcast, and I just want to say I really love Audible, so I'm happy to have them back. Audible, of course, is the best place on the web to get audiobooks. To get your free audiobook, go to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast, CULTCAST, for your free trial and free audiobook. Thank you to Audible for sponsoring the show. Yeah. We have got a most excellent show. I almost went surfer there. I refrained. Planned for you guys today. It's a mixed bag show today. In a couple weeks, we have WWDC coming up, and boy, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about then. And until then, it's going to be a graveyard of news days, don't you guys think?
No, we got some fun stuff to talk about. Let's get into it.
No, let's just keep talking about stuff that doesn't have any value.
This is why people hate podcasts. Come on.
Okay, well, let's start with our first story. Leander, you actually suggested we talk about this one, and I think you probably know the most about it. And this is the police chief in Berkeley, California, that sent out 10 of his officers to find his son's stolen iPhone. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, there you go. You pretty much said it. Yeah.
Then let's move on. Okay. This is going to be the shortest show ever.
Okay. The funniest line is he said there wasn't anything special, that he does this for every lost and stolen iPhone in Berkeley, which is the funniest part.
So basically what happened, right, is his son lost his iPhone. And this guy, they were tracking it through Find My iPhone. Is that right?
Well, he couldn't even get that right. Yeah, he said he had some special tracking software on his phone.
called Find My iPhone, right.
Yeah, right. And handed over to his detectives, who sent a team of 10 people out. But apparently it went dark before they could find the criminal, the crook.
Okay, the battery died.
Yeah, exactly.
Using these high-tech terms. He's like, it went dark. Right. The battery died. I'll be honest. The battery died.
10 clueless cops, kicking in doors.
Yeah, right. Using battering rams.
Right, exactly.
And so they never found the phone, but I was actually shocked when I was reading this. I thought for sure this had happened in the UK. I was like, there's no way this happened in the US. Well, and sure enough, it happened in California, in Berkeley, right next to San Francisco. And that is near San Francisco, right, Leander?
Say that again?
Berkeley is near San Francisco?
Yeah, right across.
I don't want to sound like a total idiot. I wouldn't want to fool anyone. I'm only mostly. But he sent out 10 police officers for a full day to look for this thing.
Yeah, man.
And it turns out he's done something like this before. He had sent an officer to a reporter's house after midnight to get her, or get him, the reporter, to change some of the details in their story that they had written about them.
Standard procedure for cops. Come on. Nothing wrong with that.
I cannot believe this guy had the gall to say this was standard procedure. But he would have done this for anyone.
I know, right?
It's like, what an insane thing to say, right? It's like you've been caught with your pants down, and to say, oh, I would have done this for anyone. Well, really? Yeah.
I hope they get flooded with calls, like people asking, you know, oh, will you guys, you know, send somebody out for my kitten?
Yeah, I need at least 10 officers. One officer won't do. Yeah. I can't even get an officer to show up when I get in a car accident in Washington. Yeah, like, right. If you call the cops and you're like, I got in a car wreck, they're like, how much damage was done? And if it's under $500, they don't even come.
No.
They tell you to go online and fill out the police report there.
Right.
Ridiculous. Staying on the same ridiculous note, I want to tell you guys about a little prank I think that you guys should try on your favorite British news editor if you get a chance. So I had a friend on Facebook post about this, and basically what he was using his iPhone, and all of a sudden his autocorrect started getting really crazy. So he'd be typing messages to people and hitting send, but right before he hit send, words would change. So instead of being like, hey, I'm on my way, it would say like, penis, I'm in a circus. And he was really confused, right? So eventually he figured out that his friends, if you go into settings, general, and then keyboard, you can set up shortcuts in iOS 5. Mm-hmm. And this is pretty much the best prank that I've ever seen. And I guarantee you, Leander, someday I'm going to try this on you. And you can I wonder if you'll remember that I said it. Maybe at CES when I actually
see it. The prank message sounds like the kind of message I'm normally sent.
So. Oh. That, yeah. For yours, I'll change it to normal phrases. So no, instead of changing hello to penis, and I'll just change penis to hello.
You can change all the curse words to like flowery nice words instead of curse words, you know?
Yeah, right. If I could type the F word, then I would know.
Oh, that's what we need to do. I wish they had like an audio autocorrect for our podcast. That would just auto bleep something pleasant every time Leander swore. So go into settings, general, keyboard, and when your friend's not looking, set up some shortcuts. So if you type hello, you can change it to correct to another, a whole nother word or a whole sentence. You can do whatever you want. And if you do it, send me a screenshot of what you did to at Aerophon on Twitter. I want to see them. I got to figure out who I'm going to do this to. I can't really do it to anyone I really care about, right? Like if I'm going to screw with someone, it has to be someone that I kind of don't like. But how often do you get access to their iPhones?
What are you talking about? You gotta screw with the people that you like. It shows them that you care.
That's actually a good point. Yeah, but you don't want to make it too bad, right? Because some people would actually probably get offended. I wouldn't. Leander wouldn't. But I have some friends that would probably be pissed.
Well, they shouldn't be your friends in the first place.
That's a good point. I'm not gonna talk to them anymore. You guys heard recently that Johnny Ive got knighted, right?
Yep, arise, Sir Johnny.
Leander, tell us. So, once you get knighted, is that actually something that in the UK people think is really cool? Because you know, in the US, it sounds so awesome. It's like, whoa, you know, make another place setting at the round table. You know, we got a new knight. But I mean, is it anything that's really, is it respected? Do people really feel that it's something cool, or is it just kind of a joke at this point? Like, what do British people think about it?
Well, funny enough, I was having a conversation at the weekend with this American guy who knows all about this. I'm very indifferent to it, but it is a big deal. I mean, you can get a CBE, an MBE, an OBE, Order of the British Empire, Member of the British Empire. And
wait,
then,
so there's there's a whole different category of stuff that you can get to that's not a knighthood at all?
Yeah.
Orders, decorations, and medals of the United Kingdom. Wikipedia.
Really?
Right. Wow. And getting a knighthood is like one of the top ones, and it allows you to be Sir Johnny Ive.
Right.
And you get the best table at all these London restaurants.
Do you really?
Uh-huh. And
so they actually will treat you differently if you have a knighthood?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean,
so it's very prestigious.
Yeah. All the tinkers and dustbin men doff their caps.
What are tinkers? you're going into deep British lingo, and I don't know what you're saying.
You see Mary Poppins. They're the poor working class people that sharpen knives and sell trash and that kind of thing.
He's so trash. That sounds like the worst job ever. You don't even sell anything of value. You sell trash.
They used to have dust pickers. You know, there was in Victorian London, they used to go through the dust from coal fires looking for discarded coins and other treasures like that.
So Johnny Ive will never have to worry about doing that.
No. Oh, no.
And do they actually knighthood, or do they actually give a knighthood to anyone that does anything that's, I don't know, brave, or, you know, like firefighters or people like that? Because I feel like the only ones we ever hear about are like Paul McCartney, Johnny Ive. It's like celebrities. Elton John. Elton John is a knight. Is a knight in the UK, right? It's like, do you want him protecting anything?
Just see his armor. Yeah.
Wow. He's got the most shiny, sparkling armor. He the probably sequins. Has the most. Yes, sequins all over. He has the most fabulous armor you've ever seen.
Yeah, I know.
And I was going to make a joke about a joust, but it probably would be misconstrued. Which would have been not the way I meant it at all.
We can't imagine what you would be saying. Yeah, they don't. No, they don't do any. They don't defend anything. And no, you're right. I don't think. Generally brave people. I mean, they get, you know, like the Afghan war heroes. They get. They get a medal from the Queen, but they don't get a knighthood.
Wow, so if you protect the realm, you don't get a knighthood, but create a great album, you could get one.
Right, absolutely.
Well, congratulations, Johnny Ive. I think it's really cool that he's being recognized for being such a talented and hardworking individual. And he also gave a short interview when he received his knighthood, and I thought it was really interesting because he talked about Apple's design process and what it's like. And I know that we've talked about before, once Steve Jobs passed away, how they were going to continue to innovate at Apple. Because, I mean, at least to me, it seemed like it was a very small team that was creating these really amazing products. And one of the things that he said was that it, in fact, is a really large team. And they're all very focused on simplicity and making the best products that they can. And the way I understood it is it kind of sounded like you could lose, you know, one or two members of the team and they can move on, or if they passed away, they would still perform as they had been performing for the last 10 or 15 years, which I thought was really reassuring. Doesn't that make you guys feel good?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because I was really worried when Steve Jobs passed. I was like, ugh, how are they going to continue to, you know, innovate as they've been? But he certainly has a lot of power at Apple still. So I think they will continue to still pump out some great products. Let's talk a little bit about Facebook. Facebook today released a new app. Have you guys had a chance to play with it? It's the new camera app that they released.
I just downloaded it like 5 minutes ago when I saw what you were going
to
talk about.
Andrew, I'm sure you probably haven't had a chance to use it yet. But so Facebook spends $1 billion to buy Instagram, right? The very popular photo sharing application. And Facebook today released this brand new camera app that is pretty much, Buster, wouldn't you say, feature-wise, exactly like Instagram?
It's very similar. In a lot of ways, I think it's better, actually.
Wow, you think it's better?
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool, I think.
Wow, what about it do you think is better than Instagram?
It's really fast to choose like a photo that you want to upload. Mm-hmm. That's quicker. Let's see, I haven't tried adding like any of their filters yet, so I don't know about that.
I guess one of its new features also, or I should say one of its features that's different than Instagram, is it allows you to interact with the photos that are already on Facebook. Is that right?
Right. And that's what I like about it. I like how you're browsing through your friends' photos, and instead of showing, you know, like seven in a row on Instagram, if somebody uploads seven pictures, you know, your feed is clogged. Whereas on the Facebook app, you have one picture and then you can scroll to see, you know, like there's seven pictures, and then you scroll up to go to the next person, you know? So that's pretty cool, I think.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you this. It seems to me, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, when they purchased Instagram, I recall him saying they weren't going to change anything about it. They were going to leave it just the way it was, and you're going to be able to use it as you always have. But does it really make sense to have these two apps coexist, Buster?
Does it make sense?
Yeah, I mean, they are so similar to one another. And ultimately, it would seem to me that Facebook would want you to be sharing all your apps on Facebook and not just in your Instagram community, right?
Right. You know, like the thing is that it's really like a standalone app. So like if, let's say I see like a, for like my friend Chip Webb, he was tagged in a picture by so-and-so and I want to like go befriend that person. You can't like click on their name and add them as a friend. So it is weird that it's just a standalone app and it doesn't really connect with the Facebook app at all.
Hmm. If any of our listeners are using it, tweet at us. Let us know what you think about it. I'd be really interested to hear your feedback. It's an interesting move, and I'm really curious to see if Instagram, the app, you know, stays, you know, the way it is. John Brownlee, one of our writers who posted the story about this, made an interesting point, and he said, at first it seemed like, you know, Facebook was, you know, buying this great app and they were going to continue using it with Facebook. But now that they've released their own app, it seems maybe like they're doing a talent acquisition and they might just be buying, you know, the developers of Instagram because they obviously know what they're doing. And maybe eventually, and this, these are my words, not his now, maybe eventually they're going to close down Instagram. That's what this would lead me to believe, which I hope they don't do, because isn't the Facebook, the normal Facebook app, isn't it one of the most terrible apps that you guys have?
Oh, it's horrible.
It's awful. It's so awful. I don't, it's really slow. It never works for me. And it just keeps getting worse. And although the Messages app is actually really great. So maybe the camera app has some hope.
Well, that's the thing. They've got a few apps, haven't they? The main Facebook app, which has a whole bunch of functionality, is almost unusable because it has so much functionality. But now they've done these breakout apps for photos and messages, and they're much easier and much nicer to use.
I agree, and they actually work.
Yeah, right.
Because the Facebook app, you can't even do that. I'm so shocked.
You know, it is a puzzle. It's really weird. Why, you know, because it's such a, the new camera app is such a clone of Instagram. You think, well, what do they spend all that money for? But maybe they will keep Instagram around and just, you know, use their expertise to sell ads or whatever, monetize it, but have it as an adjunct.
Yeah, that's true. What were you going to say, Buster?
Well, I know that they had to have been working on this app before they bought Instagram.
Oh, yeah, for sure, right? So, I mean, they've obviously been working on this for a while.
That, you know, yeah. It was like, oh, it's almost done. Let's just go ahead and push it. And I don't know why you would push it, though, if you're going to keep... Why would you keep two photo apps, though? That's the thing. And fragment that. I don't know. It's a weird move, I think.
It is a very weird move. And, I mean, they're a publicly traded company now. So, you know, their financials are something they don't have full control over. They, you know, need to keep costs low. And I can't imagine having developing and keeping two photo apps that do almost the same thing makes any financial sense at all. So, time will tell. Dun, dun, dun! What were you going to say, Leander?
Very astute there. You should probably, I'm hoping Zuckerberg's listening. I'm sure he's going to pick you up as his CFO.
He should. He should definitely hire
I think maybe more the COO. I don't know if I should be. I think Peter Oppenheimer is a little more qualified to be their CFO.
He didn't come up with that. He didn't say that they had two photo apps and maybe they need to keep costs down. I haven't heard that from anybody else.
That's actually a good point. I did make a very astute observation.
Very, very astute.
Well, I am available for freelance work, Mark, if you're listening, which I'm sure you probably listen occasionally. Hey, let's take a moment to talk about books. Would you mind? Let me tell you a little bit about books.
Please.
I love books, too. But you know what I end up always doing is I buy a book, whether it's an iBook or a normal book, and I put it on my shelf, and I'm like, I'm going to read that book. And you know what? I'd say 9 out of 10 times I never actually finish it. I'm still working on the Steve Jobs book because I never have time to actually read because I never actually make the time to read, which is one of the reasons why I love audiobooks so much. And I would say probably 80% of the books that I get through because I get to listen to them while I'm at the gym, I am baking pies, I might be on a walk on the beach. Anywhere. You can listen to audiobooks anywhere. And that's what's so great about Audible. Audible is the best place on the internet to get audiobooks. They have over 100,000 titles. They have every imaginable genre from fantasy, science fiction, science if you're a real nerd. You can listen to romance novels, Leander. I know you're real big on those.
Bodice rippers, love them.
You could read them to your wife. They have fiction, nonfiction, history, romance, thrillers, and my personal favorite, erotica slash sexuality, which Audible specifically calls out in the paperwork they sent me about the types of genres that they have. And here's the great thing. If you want to try out Audible, you can do so and get a free book with and a free 30-day trial. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. I'm going to spell it right this time because, Leander, you were right. Last time I didn't. C-U-L-T-C-A-S-T. audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. And if you're going to do it, let me make a suggestion. I'm really into fantasy. I love fantasy. Buster, you're really into fantasy too, right?
I wouldn't say I'm really into fantasy, but I've read some.
But you have been listening to or watching the Game of Thrones series on HBO, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about Game of Thrones. It is an amazing fantasy series, probably one of the best that I've read. And I'm also watching the series on HBO. And Audible has the entire series, and you can get any of the books that you want. And if you like dragons, if you like fantasy women who wear armor, if you like wizards, if you like knights, you are going to love the Game of Thrones series. It's actually, the Game of Thrones series is actually the video series. The book series is called A Song of Fire and Ice. If you sign up for a free audio book, you can get any of those books. And I recommend that you start with A Game of Thrones, A Song of Fire and Ice, book one. Wonderful book. So well written. You're really going to enjoy it. If you like fantasy books, just go to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast and download your free audiobook today. Go do it. Don't make me say it again. I'll keep going. Hey, let's move on. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about Siri. Did you guys watch that new ad with, I'm sure you saw the ad with Zooey Deschanel, right? And Samuel L. Jackson, which were really funny and clever, and they're talking to their iPhones and talking about recipes that they're going to be cooking for dinner and all this stuff, right? And then the new one came out, which actually is my personal favorite, with John Malkovich.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you guys. It was really funny, right? They have these great conversations with their iPhones. Do you guys think that Siri is going to be the next Ping? Like, I watch these ads and I think to myself, no one talks to their iPhone that way. And if you do attempt to do it, Siri never understands what you're saying. And you're constantly having to repeat yourself or enunciate better. Do you guys know anyone that actually relies on Siri and uses it every day?
Relies on it? No. But, I mean, you can't say it's going to become the next Ping. I mean, Ping was dead on arrival for a number of reasons. And Siri's in beta. So there is that hope that it'll get better with time and it'll learn, you know, how to understand Airfan's surfer guy accent. But
right.
Well, does Siri have a hard time understanding you guys? Do you find that it misinterprets what you're saying a lot? Leander, you have a British accent. What is it? What is it?
I know. Yeah. Even with my beautiful Queen's English, it can't understand a word I'm saying. It is frustrating. I mean, I've tried to use it, especially, you know, when I'm out and about to set up appointments and reminders and so on and so forth. But yeah, if it doesn't understand what you're saying, the second time you're like, oh, you know, stuff it. I'm just going to type it in. And right. So I haven't incorporated it into my workflow. I had heard, you know, there are some – I've heard from a few people who use it a lot, especially for you know, for people get used to, you know, doing certain things like setting up reminders or keeping up a shopping list and stuff like that. So I don't think they use it for everything, but they use it consistently for a few tasks. And in fact, there was a new survey out from a British magazine that was saying that 87% or something of iPhone 4S users use Siri once a month.
Right.
And where was this stuff? And a good proportion of them, I think like 30% use it really regularly.
Wow. 30%,
and only about 9% were dissatisfied. Which is strange. I mean, we should probably do a survey of our own, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because I mean, honestly, I'm a little dissatisfied. I do think it has hope, Buster, like you said. I mean, it is in beta, and I think it probably could get a lot better. But the fact that it never understands what I'm saying, I always think to myself, it's just so much easier just to type this. I mean, let's just say it understands 100% of what you say all the time. Even then, it's faster just to type it. Yeah. It's so much easier just to go open your weather app than to say, Siri, what's the weather going to be like for the next 7 days?
It's is
like
it just, raining?
Yeah, is it raining right now?
Is it raining?
It's like just
look out the window.
Look out the window, A. B, open your iPhone and hit the weather app. That takes like a split second rather than pressing down the button, waiting for Siri to activate, asking your question, waiting the 3 or 4 seconds for Siri to send that information to the network, deliver an answer that may or may not be right, mm-hmm. and then open your app. It's like, just open the app.
Yeah, right, true. It is painfully slow, and especially with all the feedback it gives you. It can be very frustrating. You know what it's good for, though, is sending a text. That's what I use it for, is sending a text. And you can speak, you can rattle off like 3 or 4 sentences. And I found the speech recognition is actually pretty good. So dictating to it is actually quite accurate.
Hmm. That hasn't been my experience, though. I used to use it for texts all the time. And, you know, I'll say a sentence and it will get, you know, 80% of the words right. But 80% when you're sending a text message is not nearly good enough, right? Because if you have to go through and change 2 or 3 words, now all of a sudden it's taking you much longer because you have to go in and manually change everything that it didn't understand. Aliandi, yeah. Are you saying that it always understands, or it normally understands all the things that you're saying and doesn't make very many errors?
Mostly, yeah, mostly. I mean, I've mostly had a good experience. And the trouble is, though, is that my text messages are normally a typo fest. Like, and I can type an email and literally, you know, in a 3-sentence email, every word is a typo.
yeah, I was going to mention that. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, so some of those, so those situations, yeah, it's better for me.
Huh? Buster, do you use it for text messages?
Only when like my hands are full, if I'm on the road or I'm busy at my computer and need to do something. I think Siri's great for like basic tasks when your hands are full and when you can't control it yourself, like you're saying.
Interesting. Yeah, I used to use it for texting when I was on the road because, you know, obviously you don't want to text and drive. And I found that it's even more dangerous to use Siri because now not only are you changing words, but you're getting super pissed.
Yeah.
Because
and you
got to
check in, make sure everything's right.
Right.
Siri
yeah.
rage on top of road rage.
Yeah. Now you have to actually, that's a great point. You say the message and then you actually have to check to make sure Siri got it right. So I'm not saying, you know, weird, bizarre sentences to all my friends and family.
Yeah.
I do hope it gets better. I do have hope. But right now it's just, it's a pipe dream, I feel like. And I see these commercials and I see John Malkovich having this clever conversation with Siri. And it's Siri's making jokes. Well, and I'm like, Siri is the joke right now. It's not making any jokes to me.
The thing about that commercial, though, was, I mean, A, it had John Malkovich, and it was just so hilarious, I thought. But all those things you can definitely do with Siri, but it's kind of like you have to know that those options are there, you know? Like, who's going to really, like, want their smartphone to tell them a joke like that?
Have you tried that? Have you said Siri joke?
Yeah. I haven't said Siri joke, but I've said Siri tell me a joke.
Well, the other one, the second ad, he says, life.
And yeah, that one was the one I saw, and it was hilarious.
Do you know where that quote is from? That said,
I don't know where the quote is from, but I know it's been on Siri since it came out.
Okay, it's from The Meaning of Life, Monty Python.
Oh, the...
the very last scene just for the end credits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's actually, unfortunately, it's funnier on Monty Python.
You don't think Siri delivers a good joke?
No, yeah, I was really disappointed. Like, I was chuckling when I clicked play because I love John Malkovich and was really had high hopes, but they were crushed.
You didn't think it was a funny ad?
No, I guess because my expectations were so high. I was really hoping to enjoy them, but I didn't think they were that funny, unfortunately.
I thought it was a lot more entertaining than the Samuel L. Jackson one. He's like telling Siri to take the night off. I'm just like, no one talks to their phone like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, totally. Does anyone actually want to have that kind of relationship with their phone? Maybe it's just me. I mean, I just think it's unrealistic. It's like, no one wants to joke around with their phone, tell their phone to take the night off. It's like, I just want you to give me the information and then shut up.
Yeah.
Like, just tell me what I want to know and then stop bugging me.
Well, they've got to reinforce that idea that Siri has a personality, because that was one of the things that really helped it take off in the first place, and one of the things that all the reviewers said they liked was that Siri had a distinct personality. So they're trying to play that up.
Hmm. Well, that's what they were definitely trying to do in the commercials. Anyway, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but Siri's been driving me insane, so I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that. Hey, let's wrap up with a segment, a new segment. Now, for those who have been listening for a while, you probably noticed that we started off with an Apps of the Week segment. But we are folding that in to a new segment that we're calling... Leander, do you want to do the honors?
Faves and raves.
Faves and raves. Because we are always reviewing different products. We're reviewing apps. And we get to see a lot of cool stuff on the internet, too. So we thought that we would bring back this new segment where we could talk about our favorite products of the week, our favorite apps, anything that we're really into that we really love. We could talk about that, and it's not just apps. And we're still going to vote at the end to see who has the best product or service or app of the week. I have an app picked. I know, Leander, you have a product, and mm-hmm. Buster, you have a product. Buster, do you want to start and tell us your
you
favorite?
You start, Aaron. You're the host.
Okay. Well, hey, let's do this. Buster, you're going to get the tiebreaker vote.
All right.
Week, okay? Because I don't want to cheat again, and I want to be led into temptation. I do like to cheat. So my app is called Groove. And it's available on the iPad. It's available on the iPhone 2. And what Groove is basically a replacement for your iTunes app, which the iTunes app is fine. There's no problem with it, but it's not beautiful. And I really feel like Groove is the way iTunes should have been. It's very visually driven. And one of the things that it does that iTunes does not do is it goes out onto the web and it will pull down like photos of these bands and albums that you may not even have in your iTunes. So, for instance, I have a Rolling Stones playlist. Leander, you might like this. It's like the Stones from like 65 to 68. It's all their really early stuff before they got really bad. And and one of the things that Groove did was, A, I can browse all my songs visually, which is really awesome. But when I play the songs, it pulled down this little banner image of the Rolling Stones at some concert. They're playing some concert, and it's a really cool black and white image. And it adds a lot of character to whatever music you're listening to. I personally love rock and roll pictures, especially like old rock and roll pictures from like Led Zeppelin and stuff when they're playing concerts or in the studio. It just adds a lot of nuance to the music that you're listening to, and I think it adds a lot to the music itself.
Mm.
So that is my pick of the week. It's called Groove. I think it's 99 cents. It is a fantastic iTunes replacement. I actually found out about it on Cult of Mac. I forget who it was that did that review.
Probably I think Killian.
It might have been Killian. Yeah. Oh, man. But fantastic app. That's my rave.
Groovy. Of the week.
Yeah. So, Leander, why don't you go next since Buster's being bashful?
Okay. So I ran over my favorite iPhone case. It's
with your foot or with your car?
With my car. I dropped my iPhone on the floor. The case went in four different directions. There was someone behind me. I had to get into this parking garage. So I thought, okay, I'll come back and find it. It's probably under the car. Unfortunately, I ran it over. So I picked up this old case that I've been sitting around from Hard Candy, and it's gold. It's bright, shining gold. It's a
hard shell, it's gold.
hard shell case. And it is the most over-the-top bling case you've ever seen. It's
is
like
it
one
covered
of those
with sequins and gems?
Well, not quite, actually. So it's not quite. It's not the most over-the-top, but it's definitely up there. It's not as ugly as a sort of Damien Hirst-type case that would be covered in diamonds or Sikorsky crystals. But it's bright, shining gold. And I was down at the Maker Faire at the weekend with the kids, and I have never got so much attention for a stupid iPhone case. I mean, three people came up to me and were asking about the case. They're like, where did you get that? And they want to know all about it. And so, you know, I don't normally like that much attention, but one of them was some hot mom from and I definitely like that. So I managed to bend her ear until actually she was backing away and had heard enough. But it was like, you know, that's what I don't normally want to draw attention to. I don't know if it's a good idea to draw attention to your iPhone. People have. I think this could definitely be a magnet for
hot moms?
For crooks and crooks and muggers,
crooks, muggers, and hot moms,
ruffians, hooligans.
Do you know what the case is called, or you just know it's made by?
Yeah, it's called the bubble slider. It's by Hard Candy. It's in a gold color. They still sell it. It's like $35, which is like kind of, you know, a little bit. I guess that's standard for iPhone cases.
I know. I reviewed a case recently that was $50, and I was like, geez, $50 for a case. All right, Buster.
Well, it's summertime, and me and my friends, we take a lot of hikes. Specifically, we go to this place called Havasu Pie, and it's at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. So it's kind of a rough hike, and I don't want to take like a big camera, but I don't want to take my iPhone either. So I have this new camera that Olympus sent us. It's called like the TG820, and it's waterproof and shockproof. And I actually just got back this weekend from hiking Havasu Pie, and basically beat the camera up, which was really nice because we could go cliff jumping and dive in the water with it and everything, and not have to worry about, you know, your iPhone getting, you know, beat up. Instead, you just have this really rugged phone camera, point and shoot, that could take pretty good pictures, like about the same quality as an iPhone, but you didn't have to worry about it breaking, you know. So that's probably the coolest thing I've been playing with lately.
And what was the name of it again, Buster?
It's an Olympus TG820.
And those are the pictures that you posted on Instagram, right?
Yeah, they were taken with that. I mean, I edited them. But,
yeah, you know. So it takes pretty good pictures.
Were they good, fun?
Yeah, they were actually... you know, quite a few good pictures there. I thought you had taken those with your phone, but yeah, there's some great, I mean, there's some fun pictures too. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I probably liked them. I mean, it's not as good as Groove App, but you know. No, actually, it did a really good job. But you know, I feel like compact cameras have come so long now, or so far. I mean, so many of them do such an amazing job. But you said this one is waterproof, right, Buster?
Right. Well, I mean,
that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's dumb to buy a point and shoot when you have an iPhone 4S, but it's waterproof and shockproof, so you could drop it off of a cliff and it'll still be okay.
That's a good point. I feel like if you're going to buy a camera, it needs to be different than your iPhone, because your iPhone already does such a good job. It's like, a compact point and shoot might do a better job, but how much better?
Right.
So if you had one that's waterproof and shockproof, to me that has a lot more value and is something that would actually be worth spending money on. How much is the camera, Buster? Do you know?
It's $270, I think, right now.
Okay. All right, Buster. Well, why don't you vote? You can't vote on your own, remember? So and then you get a tiebreaker vote if we tie.
Well, I have the Groove App. I don't really like it, so I'm going to go with Leander's Bling.
Yes!
Wow, you don't like it? Really?
I'm not a big fan of it, no.
Well, can you just tell me in a sentence or two what it is about it that you didn't like?
I just don't... The interface actually kind of confuses me a little bit, actually.
Interesting. Okay. Leander, your vote, please.
Well, I'm not going to vote for the confusing app. I think I'd have to go for Buster's rugged camera.
You wankers.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually going to go with your camera too, Buster, because that sounds great. And as much as I love my app, I would love to have a waterproof camera. I mean, I love to travel, and a lot of times you spend, you know, time in the ocean, and you never get to take any pictures in the ocean. And I saw the pictures that you were pumping out, and you were right near that waterfall. And it would be cool to have a camera that you just didn't need to worry about, you know, getting soaked or waterlogged.
Right.
So, Buster, you win.
Yeah, I do.
Damn it.
Suck it.
I hate you. I can't believe you voted for Leander's crappy gold case.
I would take Leander's gold case if he offered it to me. And you know what?
You wouldn't use it, though. You wouldn't use it, would you?
I don't think I would use it. I like my iPhone naked, you know.
Yeah, I prefer a nude iPhone as well. I'm not really big into cases.
Get a blingy case. You'll see. It makes a big difference.
I do like hot moms, so I might have to check it out on the web. Well, hey, guys, that's it. That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank Audible for their support. Go to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast for your free trial and free audiobook. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. Hey, you know, the banter continues on Twitter. You should definitely follow Buster's tweets. They are so nice and so special. He's BST3R on Twitter. Leander, when was the last time you sent out a tweet?
Last night.
Last night!
Oh my gosh, it's a miracle.
And did you know that Easter Island heads have bodies?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I'm like, how could I not know that? But anyway, I discovered last night and I tweeted it out.
Fantastic. Well, if you're interested in more totally useless facts about those types of things, follow L Kaney, K-A-H-N-E-Y on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos, follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. To all of our listeners in the 184 countries that are out there listening, we will see you guys next time. All right, we're clear. Buster, your performance was flawless as usual.
Yeah, it's pretty sexy. It's natural.